Psalm 51. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't leave home without it. This psalm will encourage you. When you feel guilty about sin, how many of you have sinned as a believer in your life before? Have you seen you? Oh, yeah. Just because we become a Christian, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's just the beginning of the journey. Somebody said, well, I hope you don't sin as much. But somebody said, well, I'm going for that sinless perfection here on earth. Wrong. Can't do it. In word, mind, and thought, and deed, no way. There's no way that you can be without sin. But you've been forgiven of your sins. So what do we do as Christians? We've been forgiven initially by God through Christ. He has redeemed us from the power, the penalty, and the presence of sin. We're going to heaven when we die, but we've got to get through this life. And it's a lot of muck and mire out there. Well, it's like a quicksand of sin out there. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a quicksand of sin. Oh, by the way, turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for not talking during the sermon. So when you're feeling guilty, go to Psalm 51. You know, if you can get a copy, put it on your room, on your wall, because you're going to need it again. If you sin in life. And what happened to David when he fell into sin, didn't he, with Bathsheba? Turn to your neighbor and say, Bathsheba. She was looking good on the rooftop. Don't know what she, just happened to be at a good vantage point with her taking a bath and all. I don't know how that works. You got to really want to see that to get that. And he saw it and he got that. I'm just reading the Bible, you know what I'm saying? He fell into what you may know as adultery. You know what adultery is? You can commit adultery in your mind without ever sleeping with somebody. Are you feeling me? Jesus said if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You got that covered. Well, I got that covered. Just like murder and hatred goes together, right? If you hate somebody right now as you listen to the message, you're a murderer in the sight of God. Don't hate nobody if you're a Christian. Amen. But Psalm 51, don't leave home without it. Don't go far from Psalm 51 because you don't need it again if you're a sinner. But I don't classify myself as a sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint that sins. Are you feeling me? My identity is in Christ, the perfect one, the Messiah. He paid my sin debt in full on the cross. And when I put my faith in those facts, God was satisfied with me. But I still sin. What do I do when I pick up sin? When I do the wrong thing? When I go down that path that I don't have to go down to, but I do because, you know, bad flesh. Do this to your back and say, bad flesh. Always wanting something, your flesh does. Most time it's not good. Your flesh wants that big old piece of donut rather than that carrot too a lot of the time. I know what's good for me. It's that salad. Well, look at that Krispy Kreme that just came out. And maybe four or five of them, too. That's what your flesh. Flesh is always saying, do this when you should be doing that most times. And David had fallen into sin. He had done the wrong thing. He had committed murder. Remember Bathsheba's husband? Well, he got rid of him. He didn't want to... He wanted to cover up his track. So he's covering up sin too, right? Had him assassinated. And Bathsheba and him got together and they committed adultery. Is sin bad wherever it's found? Yeah. And we have an opportunity through Christ, God's only begotten Son, to be clean before God. You don't have to carry around your sin and feel guilty about it and be burdened about it because Christ at the cross, He took care of all that. But a lot of us will just drag it around. We've got some sin in our life that we know God wants us to get out of or get rid of, and all of a sudden we just carry it down. All of a sudden we're walking like this, spiritually speaking.
Oh.
And what we can do is do what David is get cleaned up. So turn to your neighbor and say, I could use a little cleansing. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. God will show you mercy because His love never ceases. He never ceases to not love you just because you sin. But He certainly doesn't like that sin that's habitual sin in your life. You know, it just keeps going, just keeps going, just keeps going. We're all going to struggle with things here and there, trip around here and there, fall into quicksand here and there. But it's the habitual sins that's going to keep you separated from a fruitful and vibrant life in Christ. If you've got a sin that you're holding on more because it means more to you than your relationship with God, you've got a problem you need to deal with today. And He's doing it. See, His heart is humble, though. It's not just like, oh, yeah, I can do whatever I want to. God will forgive me anytime I ask. No, no, no. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, no, no. That's not the way we ask God. We ask God with humility, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. That's why you're going to have mercy on me, because your love is everlasting, because of your great compassion. Does God have great compassion? Aren't you glad? You know, once in a lifetime or somewhere down the road, you had to show compassion to somebody that didn't have nothing to give you back. You had to reach down low. I mean low. And lower and low. And you may have been low yourself when you reached down low. You feeling me? Compassion on somebody is just your heart going out to them in their time of need. Blot out the stain of my sin. Who can forgive sin? Only God. Christ has demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He died to redeem us from our sins. I've been set free from the power of sin. Even though I sin. I've been set free from the power and the penalty of sin. I'm not going to die in my sins because I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to die and spend eternity in hell because Christ has redeemed me from that. But I want a vibrant relationship with God. So I have this opportunity to get cleansed spiritually. Hand me that spiritual bar soap. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Give me some of that. Wash me clean from my guilt. You don't have to carry guilt when you sin. If you ask God humbly in the right way, like David is doing, you don't have to carry around guilt of sin if you've been saved by grace. If you've been saved by grace, you've been born again, you don't have to carry around guilt over sin. Sometimes we've been forgiven of sin because we've asked God to forgive us through Christ and Christ alone, but we may suffer the consequences of that sin still. Sometimes we are. And that's just the way life is. But you can be forgiven. You don't have to have guilt. And I see Christians all the time that are been set free. God has redeemed them and pulled them out of that muck and mire of sin. He's forgiven them, but they still walk around in a guilt thing, a burden. And it hurts my heart that someone who's been forgiven by God through Christ is walking around with guilt feelings. God doesn't want His children to be guilty and feel the guilt when His Son has experienced guilt Himself for you and me. Christ knew no sin, but He experienced the guilt of my sin. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. That's an infinite medication for me. Purify me from my sin. Cleanse me, Lord. Look up to the sky and say, cleanse me, Lord. For I recognize my shameful deeds. See, acknowledgement. You have to what? Acknowledge you've done wrong to God. A lot of people go, I ain't done nothing much, man. You've done as bad as she's bad done. Word, thought, and deed. Thinking bad thoughts. Looking at the wrong person at the wrong time, saying the wrong thing. He recognizes his sin and they haunt him day and night. He doesn't like it. He knew he had fallen with Bathsheba. He had committed adultery. He committed murder with her husband. He had him eliminated. So he's committed murder. He's committed adultery. He's covetous. The 10th commandment, he was covetous in his heart with Bathsheba. He's lied to God. He lied to Nathan the prophet trying to cover up. Nathan comes up to him and says, "Man, do you know what you did? I ain't done nothing. I just did what felt good. I'm the king." Right? That's what he was saying. "I'm the king. I got excuses." You're a child of God. You answer to God. You live by His Word the best you can. "Against you and you alone have I sinned." When you sin, where do you sin? You sin first to God, right? Then you sin against your neighbor. And you got to love God first to love your neighbor. If you say that you don't love your neighbor, you don't love God, because you first got to love God before you love your neighbor. Love God first, then love your neighbor. Get it right with God, then you can get it right with your neighbor. If you got a problem with your neighbor, loving all people around you, you got a problem with your relationship with God. Get it right first. Let Him change your heart so you can go to your neighbor and knock on that neighbor's door and say, "I love you, I forgive you, I accept you." So when you sin against God first. "I have done what is evil in your sight." Go, David. I like it. He's admitting to God that he sinned. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You have to confess first." And this is to encourage you, because it's time to be set free if you're carrying around the guilt of sin. And if you're sinning habitually and you're doing something you know God wants you to release, today is the time to get all cleaned up. And when you get cleaned up, don't go out and put the dirty clothes on again. Just don't do it anymore. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't do it anymore." Asking God to forgive you for a sin that you know you're going to go back to is a problem. But if you're humble about it and it grieves you and you know you're doing wrong, God's going to work that out if He knows your heart, right? "I don't want to, Lord. I still have trouble with it, but I don't want to." He hears your heart. But don't put the dirty clothes on after you've washed and taken a shower and put on all your new clothes. Why would you want to go get them dirty again? It'd be like taking a shower after a long hot day, getting cleaned up, putting smelly stuff, washing your hair, cleaning everything, get cleaned up, and those dirty clothes that you took off before you took a shower, you go back over them after cleaning your body and putting those dirty clothes back on you. That's nasty. You see what I'm saying? Don't go do it again. That would be nasty. Yeah, it's just like, all those dirty clothes, got to put them back on. You wouldn't do that. And you know I need help with it, because you know, life is that way. Temptation, temptation, temptation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It may not be Bathsheba that you'll see, but you're going to see something. You don't see something, hear something, somebody's going to call you, tap on your shoulder, get a hold of you, tell you something, to remind you of the past when you say, "I'm going forward, get behind me, Satan."
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You will be proved right in what you say. "Lord, you are my judge, and your judgment against me is just." You just have to go, you have to get quiet before God. You can't be like, "Oh, well, God, you just don't..." Making deals with God while we sin. "Well, God, you just don't know my situation." Oh, He does. He does. "I was born a sinner. Sin nature, sin nature, sin nature." You were born with that sin nature. "Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." That's right. How many of you, since you've been born, have sinned 100 times? Raise your hand. Is that 100 right here? Anybody sin 500 or more times? That 500 right here. I think think those sinners sit in the back row, right? I think the people that committed 500 more sins sit in the back. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you said 1,000 more? Got 1,000 right here, 1,000 right here. Do I have 1,500 sins? Got 1,500 right there. Do I have 2,000 sins? 2,000 sins right here. 2,000 right here. She wins the win. Oh, we got somebody over here. 3,000 in the ball right here. She's the winner. Let us give her some encouragement. She wins the sin auction. You get my point. You sin one time, you sin 3,000 times. You need forgiveness. And we have an opportunity as Christians to get, if we sin, to get cleaned up that day and move on and move on and move on. Don't carry it around when God has given you this opportunity. And David said, I was born a sinner. I know about it. But purify my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. Because when you sin and you end sin and you haven't been forgiven of sin, you don't have what? The three-letter word that we all want. What is it? Starts with a J.
Joy.
Give me back my joy again, Lord. I can't have joy when I have unforgiven sin in my life. I'm doing the wrong thing. I haven't asked for forgiveness. I haven't acknowledged it. I haven't confessed it. I haven't repented of it, so I don't have joy. That's why we got Christians walking around, man. It's just, they're just going, can you pass the salt, please? Yeah, I want joy in my life. And the way I get joy is to keep my life clean. I fall short. I am going to fall short. I am going to have a problem with sin. But I'm not carrying it around in truckloads. Not when the Word says I don't have to. But I got to be humble and broken before God. Don't try to hide it. People try to hide their sins from God, like hide and seek. I'm gonna go hide. I'm gonna hide it. God, you can't find it. I hit it good. Come try to find it. Hide and seek. It's a play. God knows everything. He knows the central part of your heart right there. That part that only He knows about. He should be honest with him. Get cleaned up. Remove the stain of my guilt. Yes! No more stained clothes. Create in me a clean heart. Only God can create a clean heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit with me. Give me back my joy. Renew me again so I can get on with living for you. I can get on about my business. I can have joy. I can live in victory. And I don't have to be slopping around being in defeat because I'm a sinner. I sin. I'm going to be cleaned up.
Hallelujah.
Ask Him. I knew Psalm 51 was good, right? You have broken me. How many of you have been broken by God? It's the best place to be. Best place to be, isn't it? As low as you can go. When your face has hit the ground and you're spread out, and you say, Lord, I can't get any lower than this. I'm nothing but a worm. Then He starts what? Lifting you up in His timing. Molding you and shaping you. He's your best friend. God is. Do not banish me from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me again the joy of your salvation. Remember when you first got saved? Oh my goodness, who is that person? On fire for God. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you on fire for God? Be like a bottle rocket, man. You first get saved, you're like, oh man, you're witnessing to everybody, going everywhere, doing everything. You show up 3 times a week at church, sometimes 4, and they're asking, oh, can I help you? We don't have service today. Oh, praise God! I'm a new Christian. I have joy. God saved me. I want to go talk to somebody about it. I want to go to church and Bible study and be around a bunch of Christian folk. Maybe now you just, you don't get to church as much as you want to, and then church folk get on your nerves. Or restore restore to me again the joy of your salvation in verse 12 and make me willing to obey you. You know what? Ask God for help on obedience, right? It just doesn't come natural. Does it come natural for you to obey when somebody tells you to do something? No. No. I want to do it my way. Yeah. I got rules in my life. I have authority in my life. God is my ultimate authority. I have other people in my life that, you know, say you got to be doing this and doing that. I'm kind of like, I want to be doing this. But I say, Lord, help me to obey you. Give me that spirit of obedience so when I read something in your word, I will do it in gladness. Even though it hurts me sometimes to do the right thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes it hurts doing the right thing. You may lose some friends. Then I will teach your way to sinners. He says, you know, I get all this back, and now I can start witnessing to people. Because you can't witness to people when you're full of sin, unconfessed sin. You have no power. You have no power. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have no power. You can't have power. You can't have power. You can do what Psalm 51 says, get all cleaned up with it. And then you'll have power to witness to people. Hey, you need to know the Lord. Do you know where you'll go when you die? You're going to hell when you die? Well, does that concern you? Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't spend eternity in hell? So you have that power. And he wanted that power back. He wanted to share the goodness of God. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. You know what God wants from you and me today? Not sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs like they did in the Old Testament. You know what does he want? If you are satisfied with a burnt offering, I would bring it. Here's the sacrifice that God wants from us. Verse 17. On the count of three, read it out loud. One, two, three, read. That's it. That's it. What does God want from me? He wants you to do more stuff. No. Your relationship with God is the most important thing, and the sacrifice you can bring him is your broken heart, because he's going to mend that broken heart. He knows how you feel because his son has experienced the ultimate brokenness by God. His son carried the ultimate brokenness from his father. My God, why have you forsaken me? I've loved you from the foundations of the world. Now I'm on this cruel, rugged cross. I didn't do anything, but your will be done, not my will be done.
Hallelujah.
Talking about a broken heart. Jesus had the broken heart. And he's an example to us. Go to God. If you're in sin, confess it with a broken heart. That's the sacrifice that God wants from you and me. That's it. He doesn't need anything else from you. Except now a broken and contrite spirit. You know, you can come to God and ask him, oh, forgive me, God, for my sins. Forgive me all the sins I committed yesterday and that thing you know about. Amen. Is that a broken and contrite heart action? It's not. Y'all know what a broken and contrite heart is. It's that sincere. Contrite means sincere. You know how to be sincere with other people. And you know when other people are not sincere with you? When they just put it all on. It's like, you know when people are for real or not. If somebody apologized to you and they were not sincere, you would know it. And God knows it in your heart. So when you go to God for forgiveness like the psalmist did, be sincere, be broken, and be set free.
Amen.
I love this preaching. A broken and repentant heart, oh God, you will not reject. You will not despise. You will never tell me to go away when I come to you with a broken heart. Love it. Turn to your neighbor and say, love it.
Love it.
Psalm 51, don't leave home without it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Psalm 51. Wow, that's one we just need to keep real close. Letting the psalmist guide us into repentance and forgiveness. Father, if there's anybody in the listening to the message that's hanging on to that sin, could be any of the 10 commandment sins, it could be something else, and they need forgiveness, let Psalm 51 be that model prayer of repentance and confession and freedom of forgiveness that you only provide through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us be broken and contrite with our sin, because we will. And Father, if there's anybody listening to the message that says, yeah, that's a good sermon and everything, but I'm not born again. I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus. I'll just get around to it another day. Let that person know that you don't give them and guarantee them another day. That today is the day of salvation. Won't you stir that heart and that spirit to come to salvation today? And Father, for all of us who already know you as Savior and Lord, we have put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we have sinned against you, and our sin is building up and building up and building up, and we've lost the joy of our salvation. I pray that this psalm and the preaching of your word, not my personality or my energy, but the word itself will bring us back and restore us to a new and right relationship with you. We love you so much. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And all of God's children said,
Amen.